Good evening. This is Pigskin Picks, brought to you by Food City, Delegate Terry Kilgore, and Eastman Credit Union.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, and welcome into Pigskin Picks here on 93.5 WAXM. What better way to maybe end your Thanksgiving than with myself, Jacob Townsend, Corey Sanchez. Zach Helton is always here on a Thursday night as we now move into the region championship week in high school football here in Virginia. We'll get to the state semifinals action as well in Tennessee and Kentucky later on in the show. College football is winding down. It's the final week of the regular season. Big games in big spots this coming weekend there on that side of the sport as well. But fellas, we'll start off here, Zach. Every coach I've talked to this week and every coach I've ever talked to at this time of the year always talks about you want to be practicing on Thanksgiving. Hey, you want to be practicing on Thanksgiving, and you want us to be talking about you on Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to you, sir. Hope you're doing well.
Happy Thanksgiving. Jive turkeys everywhere. I remember back in my playing days, we would walk up the hill in the snow both ways barefoot to our Thanksgiving practice in the morning. And then we would hustle on home to eat. But, yeah, it's whenever you're playing this week of the year, you know things are going pretty good for you.
Corey, and your team obviously getting some Thanksgiving action in the Commanders. Full disclosure to our listeners, we recorded this earlier in the week due to the Thanksgiving schedule of our work schedule and other things going on, obviously, with the Thanksgiving festivities. So we're here a little bit earlier in the week. But, sir, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours as well.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Probably not in a good mood right now. Thinking about it.
Well, you know what? But let's act like it went well. Let's be positive. Let's be thinking about good things. It's that time of year.
Sam Howell threw for 350 yards, 4 touchdowns, and somehow the Washington Commanders have defeated the Dallas Cowboys.
Hey,
folks, that's what he's hoping would happen. You obviously, at this point in the juncture of your Thanksgiving Day, most likely know how it went down, and chances are it was the opposite of that. But, Corey, I will start off with you as we lead off the show. We got a lot to get to tonight. We're going to get to all the coaches coming up in the regional title games. Region 1D, it's Rykoven, Honaker, Gary Collier, Todd Tiller will join us. Over in Region 2D, we'll be joined by Tony Palmer, the head coach of the Graham G-Men, and Travis Turner, the head coach of the Union Bears. Everybody's getting annoyed from hearing from me every Monday when I'm sending out the text messages. Hey, when you free this week, buddy? Because it's that time of the year. You win, you get annoyed by me. It's one of the great blessings of this time of the year for high school football coaches in Southwest Virginia. And we'll certainly pick some games later on in the show as well. We have winded down our Eastman Credit Union guest pickers. There's not enough games for us to continue there with our guest pickers this time of the year. Thanks to all 13 of our guest pickers this year. And we'll get to our last guest picker last week, Lauren Bradford, WCYB, did as well, coming up later on in the show. I'll go ahead and say this as well. We'll give you our broadcast schedule. We're doing both region title games, 1D and 2D, here in Southwest Virginia on our families of stations. 1D, 1 o'clock kick, Rykov at Honaker, and our good buddy Zach Helton will be on the call over on our sister station, 92.5 and 1220.
Hey.
WLSD and online at WLSDradio.com. Zach Helton back on WLSD. Been a while, partner. Should be a fun one there for you at Honaker between the Eagles and the Tigers Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've been on LSD, so it's good to get back after the holiday, and I'm excited about this one. Should be a fun one. You know, the first matchup was a shootout down in Rykoven. The weather's looking good for Saturday. The turf plays well, I think, for both teams. The only thing that kind of scares me for Rykoven, they've got to put up more than 18 points on Saturday if they have any chance of beating Honaker.
Offense been a little bit stagnant there for the Eagles. We'll get to their performance against Twin Springs there with Corey, who called that one in just a moment. We'll also have the Region 2D title game right here on 93.5 WAXM Saturday afternoon. That's a 2 o'clock kick, I should say, in Bullet Park at Big Stone Gap. Graham and Union, another rematch from September. Union winning the first time around 27-14. We'll also pick those games coming up later on in the show, but myself and Corey will be there at Bullet Park for that one between the G-Men and the Bears. But Corey, let's start off recapping what happened last week. Let's start off in Region 1D, the game we had on WAXM Saturday afternoon. That was Rykoven hosting Twin Springs, another rematch. They beat Twin Springs in the final week of the regular season in Nicholsville 29-14. This time they take them down at the Eagles Nest in Clinchport 18-7, the final score. We all picked the Eagles in this matchup. You were there. You saw it. Give us your thoughts.
Yeah, I think that Rock Cove, they've got a defense to be reckoned with, but kind of like what Zach was saying, that their biggest problem is going to be generating points. They struggled to generate points against Eastside the previous week and then last week. They struggled. They did score on three consecutive drives kind of to end the half, but still – that offense has to kind of step up there. Landon Lane, they run everything through him. He was had the first two touchdowns. I think Will Rollins had the other touchdown to cap the lead. But their defense played sound. Logan Barnett and one of the Darnell boys, too, had a ball in the end zone. They went over the Pascal kid, who's their running back, and he's like 5'6", and this kid's like 5'10". So basically pulled like a A.J. Brown on him, but he just couldn't come down with the ball. So I thought it was a good win. It was, I think everybody and their mama in Scott County was there outside of the county seat probably. But, you know, it was a good game. It was a good game energy-wise. Rocco's folks came out there. And, you know, it's good to see a team that's had so many struggles. I think I did the math, did Jacob Towns the math. I think it's been like 8,000 days since they've won 2,000. I think it was like 8,400 days since they had won. They had two playoff wins in the same season. So kudos to them and Gary Collier, what he's doing to get those guys. They have did a complete 360. So I was excited. It was an exciting game. And just that drama there, the Scott County Super Bowl that they coined it as, and they got both of them, did Rock Cove. So, they go Gary Collier's 2-1 now against Twin Springs.
And Rock Cove, as you said there, Corey, gets Scott County win number 2 over Twin Springs. Only the second time they've faced off in the playoffs. Rock Cove has taken both of those as well as they won the first one back in 1988 over the Titans, and they do so again. Twin Springs, a shorthanded squad throughout their season. They've been battling a lot of injuries this year for Keith Warner's squad. That's a team that a lot of people thought would be maybe a middle-of-the-pack team of the Cumberland, maybe fighting for a playoff spot in the bottom pack of the Region 1D. Not quite the case. I said at the beginning of the year there's not a coach I trust more maybe in the entire region, but I'd say certainly in the Cumberland District than Keith Warner for what he's done the last few years there in Nicholsville. They get another home playoff game this year for them. They beat Chowhowie last week, and they move on to the second round of the playoffs for a second time in 3 years. Everything going in the right direction there for Twin Springs. They'll have to replace a lot once again, though, going in the 2024 there for the Titans. But a good win, as Corey said there, Zach, for Rye Cove, 18-7 over Twin Springs. They move on into the Region 1D title game. You'll see them. And they're, as you said a moment ago, their offense has got to pick it up. But that defense, led by B.I. Salyers, a familiar name in this area when it comes to head coaching, he's the defensive coordinator for Rock Cove. He's done a phenomenal job in his first 2 years there for Gary Collier with a strong staff from beginning to end on their coaching staff on the sideline. But the defense leads the day for them over Twin Springs, and it's going to have to be up to task against Honaker once again this week as well.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something about B.I. We, when I was at Richlands, all 4 years I played football, we would scrimmage J.J. Kelly at Kelly, and it was when B.I. was the head coach there. We had always had a tough time moving the football on them. It didn't really matter how good or bad they were. They always had a strong defense, and that is essentially what B.I. Salyers brings to the table. With this group here, it's always good for, especially for Gary Collier. You know, he's been around the block, but having another head coach on your staff, that only just solidifies things. And just doing some prep on this game coming up, they're young. Yeah. I think they're only going to graduate a handful of guys, and a lot of guys with some pop offensively are going to come back. So they're only going to get better. But this one, this Saturday, should be fun. I think Rye Cove's going to come up to the task. I think they do find a way to move the football on Honaker.
They did last time, and remember the game that Honaker won 40-32. Remember, Honaker actually left some points on the board in that matchup. They had a couple of drives that were stalled inside Rye Cove's red zone there where they could even had more than 40 on the Eagles that night as well. Honaker, you know, is going to try to move. They're going to be able to move the ball. And it's going to be similar for Rye Cove to what we've seen for other teams. When we talk about Patrick Henry, where it was a rural retreat, or whoever else in recent weeks, Time of possession is going to be key. Can you keep just the ball out of Peyton Music and Aiden Lowe's and everybody else's hands there for Onaker? If you can do so, you can keep them off the board and give you a better chance to win there. We'll see if Gary Collier and that offense can be able to do so. B.I. Salyers, they've done another wonderful job. Gary Collier brings him up almost every time I ever talk to him about the job he's done there. B.I. coming back over to Southwest Virginia last year to be on Gary's staff at Rykovich, spending a number of years with the Dobbins Bennett coaching staff over in Kingsport and Northeast Tennessee in the Tri-Cities. And he's doing another phenomenal job with that defense this year, who's just been absolutely fantastic. That offense, though, as you guys said, got to find some ways to get moving the ball early. Penalties, Gary Collier talked to me, Corey, about the penalties sort of stalling a lot of the play there for Rykov. Similar things we saw against Eastside 2 weeks prior as well in the first round of the playoffs.
Kind of to that point, Jacob, there was an opportunity that they were going for two down there, and I think they had three two consecutive penalties that made it like I think they had to snap the ball at the 20.
So that
kind of alluding to what Coach Collier was saying, and I think they got to clear up stuff on the extra points as well, because they didn't convert a point after attempt all game.
That we had their kicker Diego Dortch, right, who had been kicking it very well there prior to the playoffs, where he actually made his first one against Eastside, missed his second one. As you say there, the issues continue there in that regard for Rykov. Can't leave any points on the board when you take on a Honaker team who gets by Patrick Henry 44-30 on Saturday afternoon. Patrick Henry led at the half, though, Zach. The Rebels have been issues for Honaker in the recent history. This game's always a back-and-forth affair, but Honaker's offense too much in the second half when Patrick Henry ends up trailing, trying to mount a comeback. Not enough steam to do so against the Honaker offense. We all like the Tigers going into the game. We all like the Tigers going into the season. And Honaker's right where everybody expected in the region title game, getting a chance to host with another rematch up on the task for Todd Taylor and the Tigers this coming week against Rykov.
Yeah, but give Patrick Henry credit. I think they're I think next year is going to be a good year for them. I think they're probably an early season favorite in the Hogo. And I'll kind of go out on a limb here looking ahead real quick. I would not be surprised if we saw a Rykov-Patrick Henry region championship game this time next year. I think Patrick Henry, you know, they've got some young blood just like Rykov does, and not enough for Honaker, especially in Honaker. But this Honaker offense is pretty special to watch. I got to watch them a couple of weeks ago when they played Rural Retreat. Rural Retreat had them on the ropes at halftime, and then Honaker came out, threw the ball around, and shut out Rural Retreat in the second half. So I think that was kind of a wake-up moment for Honaker, and I think it kind of rolled into Saturday, and I think it's going to spring them forward. So this Saturday is going to be a fun one to watch.
We're going to pick the Region 1C championship coming up later on in the game as well. We're going to pick 1C and 2C. 1C's been absolutely tossed upside down because – the 1 seed and the 2 seed are gone. Grayson County was eliminated last week by Galax. The 2 seed Narrows was actually blown out in the first round of the playoffs by, I believe it was Floyd County, I want to say, is who upset them. Maybe in the first round of the playoffs. My memory's not quite there with the full bracket of that series. But it's now a 3 seed George Wythe hosting a 5 seed Galax. And Galax has had George Wythe's number over the years. So we'll pick that game later on. But it's also locked in, fellas, here, that the winner of Honaker-Rykov, not only are you region champions, you're locked in. You'll host the state semifinal game next week as well. So that's an important key there in this game and leading into next week once we get into December and the state semifinals, to where you don't have to travel, which has been the case in recent years for Holston, Grundy, whoever it's been in that state semifinal game. They've had to travel to the Region 1C winner in most years recently. Not this time. Forever wins out of Honaker and Rykov, whether it's Galax or George Wythe, they're coming to your house next Saturday for a state semifinal game. So certainly going to be keeping a close eye there on that matchup there. But Honaker's offense, once again, as Zach said there, is absolutely been terrific throughout the year and continues to be so here into the postseason of a Rural Retreat and Patrick Henry. And the rematch, as we said, continue. Rural Retreat, they played the last week of the regular season, played them in the first week of the playoffs. Patrick Henry, they played in the regular season, obviously. They played them again last week. Now Rykov, as we said earlier on, they played September 8th, winning on the road, now getting to host Rykov in a region title game. Hey, let's move on to Region 2D here quickly, guys. Union beats Tazewell 27-6. We all like the Bears in that matchup. Union's offense a little bit slower in this game than what we've seen throughout the year. Corey, I saw this one, and I said this on the air. I think Virginia High and Tazewell both did a nice job. Tazewell better than Virginia High, obviously, just because they're the better football team. they're sort of keeping the Bears away from the big play so far. There's not the 50, 60-yard runs by whether it's Anderson or Chandler or Poppy Lowry. There's not the big play by Paul Huff in that regard or Cam Bostic on the outside in the first two rounds of the playoffs. And when you're able to do that because of how Union still likes to play offense, although they do have obviously a little bit more versatility to them this year with the passing game and a chance to just sort of spread you out a little bit more, whether it's in the run game using the edges as well, it's kept the scores a little bit more manageable for the opposing teams and made the games look a little bit closer. This one, though, was a close game. This was 12-0 at halftime, 12-6 going into the fourth quarter, and Tazzle was driving inside the Union 20 in the first minute of the fourth quarter with a chance to either tie and then take the lead or just tie the ball game right there. And an interception by Carter Creasy taken by Cam Bostic at the one-yard line kept Tazzle out of the end zone. Union then drives it 99 yards to the house to stretch the lead back to two possessions. They tack on one more later on in the game to win it 27-6. Two interceptions by Union's secondary. Bostic got one. Braxton Bunch had the other one. I believe that was also earlier on in the third quarter. That's testing my memory there a little bit. It may have been in the first half, but I want to say it was earlier in the third quarter there for Bunch. On a bad throw there by Creasy, who was an impressive quarterback throughout the day there for him and Tazewell. But Union Corps, we've seen them a number of times this season. We'll see them again this week against Graham in the championship game and another rematch. Feels like we keep saying that during this time of the year. But the Bears' offense is still being good enough, but the defense has continued to be fantastic. In this entire season, they've given up 108 points through 12 games. If you want help with your math, that's average of 9 points per game they're only giving up. Their defense is not giving up barely anything this year, and it continues the past 2 weeks in the first round, 6 points to Virginia High and 6 points to Tazewell.
Yeah, that defense, Jacob, they've been stifling, to say the least, at Union. But, you know, you make the comment that the offense of your Bears, hey, they've been just good enough. That can't be on Saturday at Bullitt Park. They have to be darn near perfect. And we've seen some lapses. I think we saw it against Ridgeview. I think you kind of alluded to it against Tazewell. We even saw it kind of in that Abingdon game early on.
First half, yeah.
Say that again?
First half, yeah.
So, you know, that's the one thing that kind of concerns me about them going there. I know we'll touch about it in a little bit, but for Union, that is what kind of concerns me, is that if they fall behind, because, you know, the offense is a little sloppy, a little stagnant, is that going to – that could create an avalanche, and not in a good way. I think with Graham, because you got to think they're smelling blood in the water. They've got an axe to grind, because if they don't lose the Union, they're hosting this game, and they've got a perfect season on the record, and, you know, going for that back-to-back state titles and everything. You got to be on your P's and Q's if you're the Bears.
Yes, and again, their offense hasn't played bad. It's just the fact that they haven't gotten the big plays, right? Because the first drive of the game, they go 14 plays, 70-some yards, take over 7 minutes off the clock against Tazewell. They then get stopped inside the 15-yard line, though, on the turnover on downs, leaving some points on the board. They had a turnover against Tazewell in Tazewell territory as well there on Saturday afternoon there in the second half of a fumble by Rayshon Anderson on the blitz by the Bulldogs. It's not that their offense has been bad, Zach. It's just not quite as been as sharp as we've seen it throughout the year. And with a Graham team that is healthier than they were in September when they played the first time, sharpness is going to be key against the G-men.
Yeah, definitely got to be sharp. And, seems like the only thing that slowed down the pace on Saturday was fans from running on the field. So hopefully that doesn't happen on Saturday at Bullitt Park. Just looking at it, the only games that, Union has given up more than, 7 points, John Battle, which, you know, obviously they're letting a lot of young kids play late, Abingdon, Science Hill, and Ridgeview and Graham, that's not bad, especially when you keep a Graham team that's explosive to 14 points, regardless of who's hurt and who's not in Mitchell Stadium. That's a pretty big, tall task. But this one Saturday is going to be a big one, because Tydress Clements is back. It seems to be that the Graham D is healthy. And I don't know what the over-under is, but I would not be shocked if it goes to the under on Saturday.
Yeah, I think Union's defense is so strong that they're going to be strong against anybody. The question is the Union offense going to be enough against the G-men on Saturday afternoon to get win number two over Graham? They're 5-5 between Travis Turner and Tony Palmer. In the history of Union versus Graham, it's 6-5 because Travis Turner beat Tony's predecessor one time back in the playoffs in 2012 in the first matchup between these two at Mitchell Stadium back in 2012. But since Tony Palmer took over, they're split right down the middle, 5-5. And actually, Graham controls the favorite Bullet Park, 3-2 over Union. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out there on Saturday afternoon because, as you said there, Zach, Tydress Clements was not fully healthy. That was his first game back after missing a couple of games, was against Union in September. He still ran for, I think, 80-plus yards and maybe had a touchdown against the Bears, but he wasn't certainly his full self as the all-time leading rusher in Graham history that he is there for the senior. And we saw him last year in the same game, Corey, in the region title game against Ridgeview, 400-plus yards, 7 touchdowns against the Wolfpack. I brought up my stat sheet earlier this week to just look back and make sure I was remembering everything correctly there. I think it was 28 carries, 409 yards, 7 touchdowns against Ridgeview last year in this title game. And remember, in the second half, it wasn't him as a running back. They were running a lot of wildcat with him taking the direct snaps, and they brought that sort of more back into the fold from what I've read in the Gate City game last week, where they're bringing sort of him back in of where they're not having to hand it off to him, just let him go direct snap and take it right out the defense, and we'll see if they sort of use that as well this coming week against Union in the championship game. And speaking of Graham and Gate City, they defeat Gate City last week 28-7. We all had the G-men, Corey. You saw a little bit of this game, I believe, from what the G-men and the Blue Devils played out there Friday night, the only game in the area Friday night. They get the win, though, and Graham continues to roll as they have recently, sort of playing their best football at the best time of the year.
Yeah, and, you know, give credit to the Blue Devils, right? That game was tied at 7. You know, got a chance to watch it on those networks and everything, and it was tied up. So, you know, that kind of gives you a moment of pause for, you know, Graham and you know, the quality opponent at Gate City. I mean, you know, 8-4 is nothing to snub your nose at, but this was a squad that got shut out by Union in a game that we did on this very, not on this very station, but our sister station that day. So, kudos to them. But, you know, Graham, like you said, Clemens, he is, he's Weapon X, as they would like to call him in the comic book world. He can do a little bit of everything, and he will cause you headaches. He's probably keeping the defensive staff up there at Union up all night, probably into Turkey Day, trying to figure out a way to – you can't stop them, but you're going to have to slow them down.
The old Dan Patrick line, right, Zach? You can't stop him. You only hope to contain him. That's been Clements' story throughout his career. It's going to continue into probably a college career for him as well, and he does it again there against Gate City last week.
Yeah, I saw him early in the year, and right when he got hurt, Bluefield High was doing a pretty good job of containing him. So that may be one of those films that Union has a hand on this week. Real quick on Gate City, I think if they find some consistency between now and next year, they're going to be a tough out in Region 2D. You know, there's some head scratchers on that resume this year, but a solid ball club. Yeah, they were in it early, and a couple of big plays for Graham kind of pulled things away. But I like what Graham's doing. They found a little bit of a passing attack, too, out of what Clements does. So you can't really focus in on him. You've got to play the outside, too, play some pass coverage and kind of hope to keep things kind of underneath.
Graham beats Gate City 28-7 as we all picked the G-men. And last week, fellas, we were 4 out of 4 for everybody. You, me, her, him, you got it. Everybody went 4 out of 4 last week. Corey's still leading the way in Virginia. 95 picks correct this year. 82.6% for Mr. Sanchez. I'm at 94, 81.7%. And Zach at 93, 2 games back at 80.9%. Last week in Tennessee, we only had a couple of games. It was Graham over Anderson County. The Green Devils stay undefeated, beating Anderson County, the defending state champions, 28-17. We all picked Graham. And it was York Institute routing over Hampton in Carter County, 56-13. Lauren Bradford was the only one of the Bulldogs Us three all went 2 out of 2. Lauren, 1 out of 2. Standings in Tennessee, myself, 58 at 80.6%. Corey at 49, 68.1%. And Zach at 48 at 66.7%. In Kentucky, Pikeville defeated Middlesbrough, 34-14. I was the only one of the Yellow Jackets. I still love you, Larry French. Somerset blows out Shelby Valley, 56-20. We all like Somerset. And hello, Bell County, 38-36 over East Carter in overtime. Zach picked East Carter in that matchup, but it was Bell County pulling out the win, 38-36 there for the Bobcats to keep their season alive for Dudley Hilton and the boys. Last week in Kentucky, Corey was a perfect 3-for-3. Myself and Zach, 2 out of 3. In Kentucky, I've got 50, 75.8%. Corey, 47 at 71.2%. And Zach at 45 at 68.2%. High school last week, Mr. Sanchez, 9 out of 9, a perfect 9-for-9. Myself and Zach, 8 out of 9 there in high school last week. I'm in first place at 203, 79.3%. Corey and Zach tied for second at 188 at 73.4%. All right, guys, we're running out of teams in Kentucky. We're down to about 2 local teams, you could say, in the third round. It says the third round. That's actually the state semifinals there in Kentucky this coming week. Let's start off in Class 1. I'll start off with you, Corey. Pikeville is 10-2. They travel to Campbellsville, who's 11-1. Who plays for a state title next week?
I've been to both of these places. Pikeville's a haul. You know, you're bringing your Thanksgiving baggage with you. Campbellsville gets to sit at the house, probably get some Lee's chicken down there. Give me Campbellsville.
Corey going with the home team. Zach?
Yeah, I had Lee's chicken once. It gave me heartburn. I'm going to Pike Vegas on the road.
I'm going to go Pikeville on the road as well. Give me the Panthers to keep it rolling back to a state championship game. Class 3, Bell County, my guy, Dudley Hilton and the Bobcats keep it rolling. They're in the state semifinals, Zach, but they travel to Hart County, right at the heart of it. They're 13-0 is Hart County. I think I already know where you're going on this Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, it may be Thanksgiving weekend, but I'm not letting my guard down on Bell County. Let's go Hart.
Corey?
Well, I'm going to think with my heart instead of my bell. Give me Hart County.
Hart County there for both of those guys. First ever meeting between these two teams. You know who I'm picking. You know who I'm picking. I'm always going to pick Bell County and Dudley Hilton, unless they play maybe Middlesbrough, which in those cases I should pick Bell County, but I still like Larry French and the Yellow Jackets too. It's a tough pick down in that area of the world. But, hey, I'll take Bell County on the road on this one. Hey, let's go to Lexington for Kroger Field for a state title game. What do you say, Bell County? Let's do it, Bobcats. Get a big win on the road with Hart County. That's exactly what you'll do next week. All right, coming up, let's get it back into Virginia. It's time for the Region 1D Championship game this week. Gary Collier, head coach of the Eagles of Rye Cove. Todd Tiller, the head coach of the Honeaker Tigers, will join me. Following that, we pan over to Region 2D. Tony Palmer, head coach at Graham, and Travis Turner, the head coach at Union, will join me following that segment as we get you set for Region Championship week on this Thanksgiving night on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Healthkeepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Healthkeepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
Welcome to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Jacob Townsend here with you. Thank you so much for spending your Thanksgiving evening with us here on WAXM as we get you set for the high school football playoffs here in the region championships in Southwest Virginia. And we're going to start off this segment in Region 1D. Rye Cove travels to Honaker. It's a rematch. Everything's a rematch at this time of the year, it feels like, almost. These two teams battled out back on September the 8th earlier on this season, week number 3 of the year between these two at Rye Cove. We talked to both coaches leading into that matchup at that time of the year. These are two of the favorites coming into the year in all of Region 1D. It was them, and you could probably throw Patrick Henry in there in that conversation as well in the preseason. Patrick Henry being eliminated last week by Honaker in the second round. Those three teams are sort of on a different tier in the preseason prognostications coming into 2023 in Region 1D. Honaker and Rye Cove have lived up to it. Honaker, 12-0 on the year, not lost a game, unscathed, unbeaten. For Rye Cove, 11-1. That one loss, an 8-point home loss back on September the 8th to Rye Cove. Excuse me, to Honaker, I beg your pardon, 40-32. It was a battle between both of those teams. High scoring, as you can tell, there in the final score. They're one of the few teams all year long for Honaker who's been actually able to put some points on the board against Rye Cove. They've only given up double-digit points, I think, four times the entire season. And they've only given up at least 30 points in two games this season. The first time against Eastside and the game against Honaker back in September, the loss, when they give 40 points to the Tigers that day. We're going to talk to Todd Tiller, the head coach of Honaker, coming up later on here in this segment. We're going to start off here with the head coach of the Rye Cove Eagles, Gary Colliers. The Eagles return to the region title game for the first time in over 20 years for Rye Cove, in only year number 2 for Gary Collier. He's joining us now for a fourth straight week. He joined us in the final week of the regular season, setting up the Twin Springs Scott County Super Bowl, what we found out to be part one. He then joined us, for the first round playoff game, previewing the Eastside game that we had here on WAXM in the first round, where they beat the Spartans 15-6. He was with us last week, previewing the second round game in the rematch against Twin Springs. And now he's here with us this week, previewing this matchup against Honaker in the Region 1D Championship. They have to head on the road to Honaker, to Russell County, to take on the Tigers. And here's my conversation with the head coach of the Eagles, Gary Collier. It's another wonderful win for you all against Twin Springs this past week. 18-7 over the Titans, Scott County Super Bowl Part 2. It's all the stuff we've talked about a number of times. But what was the biggest difference for your team against Twin Springs on Saturday?
Well, it's always nice to look at the scoreboard and get the W on it. Playing them, twice, 3 weeks in a row. And like I said, Keith does a good job with them. Them kids, they're great kids on that, over there. And they played hard and they played tough. Our kids just showed up. We made a few mistakes, offensively especially. We left some points out there on the field that, thought we should have gotten the end zone and scored a little more. But, again, I'm going to brag on our defense. Lights out. We gave up at 7 points earlier on a long drive. And after that was lights out. These kids are just playing hard, and I'm really excited for them, and rightfully so.
The offense we talked about a little bit last week, you weren't quite pleased with how they played against Eastside for most of the ball game there against the Spartans. You bring up some of the mistakes there against Twin Springs as well. What's sort of going on with the offense right now this part of the year?
Well, it's just consistency. We're not turning it over a ton. We're dropping a few passes that would have been in some drives. But right now, last week it was penalties. The holding penalties, just lack of focus, I think, because we had several illegal procedures. We're jumping a little bit, maybe the excitement of the game, but that's the stuff we got to clean up. Which we're a pretty good football team at times, but when we get behind the chains a little bit and we got to do things that's out of our norm, we're not very good. So we got to clean those things up. Get less penalties, don't put the ball on the ground, and then play our game.
And now as you turn your attention over to Honig, it's a team you saw early on in the season, losing though to them at home 40-32 back in September. What has changed since then for you all, and maybe what you're expecting to see out of Honig as well Saturday?
Well, you know, we've watched a lot of film. We went back to week three and watched what we've done, and there's some things we did good. But, you know, listen, Honecker is loaded with talent. They're big up front, and they got the athletes all over the field. So, you know, we got to do kind of what Ryko's done all year. We got to do what Ryko does and play our game, which may be a little more time-consuming drives, keep their offense off the field, and you know, we got to make plays. Like I said, they got to. At least they throw it well. The quarterback's tough. They got good receivers. And looking back at week three, we were in the right position, just didn't make the plays. And that's going to have to be the difference. We're going to have to make big-time plays.
That offense is special for them, what they've done all year long. They've gotten sort of behind in the last few games, both times against Royal Retreat. Patrick Henry last week as well. Their offense has bailed them out and putting up a number of points in that regard. Your defense is terrific. We've talked about the number of times of B.I. Sowers' side of the ball there for you all. You bring up some of the things you got to do against Honecker. When you're trying to get that through to 16, 17, 18-year-old kids this week, with the week of Thanksgiving, all the distractions that can be in there, when you're trying to compete for a region title game, what are the main points you want to get through to your guys each and every day leading up to Saturday afternoon?
Well, yeah, you're right. They're kids, and it's been a long season. But, listen, what I'm gonna preach to them today at practice is, you know, they're very fortunate. People play all their lives and all through high school and some through college that never get to practice and play the week of Thanksgiving. So they'll embrace that, be happy about it, and you know, we just gotta show up and be ready to play. And I think they will be. They're excited that we're still playing, and it's a regional championship. And for these kids at Rye Cove, it's kind of a dream come true that. What they get to experience here at Rye Cove and the fans and the community and the support and each other. It's just, it's been a blessing.
You bring up the fact of what Rye Cove has been able to do this year for you all, only in year two for you as the head coach. You've been in the playoffs both years. Now you're going to the region championship game. And there was a lot of expectations put on this team going into the season, something that Rye Cove, frankly, has not been used to in recent years, and your guys have lived up to them so far this season in not only winning the Cumberland District title but now making it all the way to the regional title game. First time in a long time for this program. What has that message to your team been like, not only this week but also over the past couple of weeks, of making sure, as you say, everybody's wanted to do this for their entire careers, getting to this point of playing on Thanksgiving week, which in high school football in this state means a region championship week, but making sure they also understand everything that's led up to this point as well?
Well, we can't get caught up in what we've done because we're still looking forward. Sure. You know, we're looking week by week, and there's nothing past this week. We got to look at Honecker, and these kids are excited. We just, you know, stay focused. And listen, I got to give, you know, shout outs to this coaching staff. Well, we got some not only great coaches and a lot of knowledge, and you know, they're passed on a lot of them, and they've been there and done that. But you know, they're great human beings with high character, and their personalities is don't conflict with these kids, and the kids have just bought into who we are and what we teach. And at the end of the day, they know we love them. You know, I was telling somebody yesterday that you know, I'm surrounded by a bunch of coaches. That's like a kid can call at 3 o'clock in the morning, call any one of our coaches, and I know that coach will be standing in front of them if that's what they're asking. So you know, we've worked hard. These kids have believed in what we're doing and believe in our knowledge and believe in us, and in turn we believe in them, and we're just going to prepare the best we can and put them in the, you know, best position to succeed and go after it. That's kind of what we do, and we've done every year, each week this year.
Now, as you look ahead to Rye Honecker here this week, Coach, we've talked about it a number of times already in this interview. What's going to be the biggest keys for your team there against the Tigers to pull out the win on the road?
Well, you know, first thing that comes to mind is always mistakes. Last week we were eat up with penalties that we got to clean that up. We don't want to put the ball on the ground, and you know, we want to hold on to the ball. We want long drives, and don't mean we don't want to break one and score, but you know, the best way to defend that offense is maybe 6, 7, 8 minute drives by our offense and scoring at the end of it, keeping them off the field. So that's a big key, and you know, let our defense continue to do what they do, and then our kids, you know, they may be outmanned in a few positions, and we just got to make big time plays.
That's head coach of the Rye Cove Eagles, Gary Collier, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. They travel to Honeaker. We've got that game for you over on our sister station, 92.5 and 1220 WLSD, and online at WLSDradio.com. Saturday, kickoff time is 1 o'clock. Pre-game coverage will begin around 12:45. Old Zach Helton will be on the call there from Russell County for that battle between the Eagles and the Tigers. Speaking of the Tigers, head coach Todd Tiller was kind enough to join us earlier on this week to preview this game here between them and the Eagles. Another rematch. That's all they've had recently. They played Royal Retreat in the final week of the regular season, then they had to come back and play Royal Retreat in the first round of the playoffs. Last week they had Patrick Henry. Another rematch. They played them back on October 20th. Both of those teams, Hoagie-Higgie District team that they are now in the same district with beginning this season. Now Rye Cove, a team they played in the out-of-district back now over 2 months ago. They take on again here for regional title on the line. Winner of this game gets to host a state semifinal because the region 1 seed matchup is the 5-seed Galax against the 3-seed George Wythe. So the winner of Honeaker Rye Cove will host next week. It's just a matter of who and where the game will be. Honeaker hopes it's with them. They've won every game so far. They hope their first loss won't be, have to be their only loss to end the season here in the regional title game. Here's my conversation with the head coach of the Tigers, Todd Tiller. Let's start off with all of these rematches you're getting. Royal Retreat in the first round was rematches back-to-back weeks against the Indians. Now Patrick Henry this past week, where you just played them back in mid-October, winning that game, and another tough one there against Patrick Henry there and Seth Padgett's squad on Saturday, winning 44-30 at home over the Rebels. What was the biggest difference for your team in the win over Patrick Henry in the second round?
You know, and this was another thing. Just coming out the second half, you know, we were down there at six. Mm-hmm. We lucky to get a we got 20 seconds left there with the ball to go in the second quarter, and we're able to score a touchdown right before halftime. So that was huge. And then coming out second half and, you know, just playing seemed like a more inspired ball there in the second half, and that was the key to it, you know, just getting a few stops there and being able to convert on offense.
This happens every year with every team, it feels like, Coach, where you feel like you're rolling really good throughout the regular season. The weather starts to get a little bit colder. You get into a little bit more of the tense time of the year where it's win or go home. And these games get a little bit closer as well because these teams have seen you so many times, whether it's in person or on film as well. Do you feel like that's happened with your team here in recent weeks where you had a tough game back-to-back weeks against Royal Retreat? Now you're trailing at halftime to Patrick Henry, have to come back in the second half as well this past week.
Yeah, you know, and that is the thing. They've seen us, they've played us, they got any film on us, you know, and two tough teams.
Yeah.
You know, Royal Retreat, out of their losses, only one was by more than one score, you know, so they are very tough opponents, and being able to be kind of familiar and everything with us, I think that definitely helps them in a way, and, you know, it's just, right now, it's you know, you got a target on your back always when you go out there, and you're going to get the best from the other team always. So,
and another rematch this week against Rye Cove. You played them back in September on the road, winning that game 40-32 over the Eagles. How much can you take away from that game so early in the season, now over 2 months later here in November, going into this one?
Yeah, you know, there's several things that will carry over, but, of course, a lot of things happened in that span of time, and it's almost like a new opponent instead of you know, a rematch in a way. But you know, the key players are still there, and a lot of, you know, what we do and what they do are very similar from then till now. So you know, you can kind of get your basis off of that, and then go from there. What they've done with recent weeks, so.
Your offense continues to hum. We talk about the difficulty of the scores, but the offense continues to put up points and yards, 44 points from Patrick Henry. Peyton Music froze for 300 yards in that game. What's it like with the rhythm of this team right now in the most important time of the season?
Yeah, you know, and their offense seems to be, we're clicking offensively on with running the ball as well, though. You know, we've had we've been able to, you know, put up some good rushing numbers here lately. You know, our offensive line is gelled real well, and, you know, it's played probably the best ball all year has been the last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks from the offensive line. And they've done a great job, and, you know, running the ball we've been really well at. And, you know, complementing that with the pass game has been huge.
Rykov's defense has been strong throughout the year. Just here in the playoffs, they give 6 points to Eastside, 7 points to Twin Springs in the first two rounds. What is the most important things when you look at Rykov's defense that your offense is going to have to do early to make sure your rhythm is there throughout the day on Saturday afternoon?
You know, we've just got to come and do the little things. You know, we've got to be consistent with them. We've got to finish drives and, you know, get first downs. And that's the key to it, you know, not shooting ourselves in the foot or anything like that with any penalties or getting behind the sticks and facing things like that. And that'll help us against good defense like that.
Only year number two for you, Coach, there at Honeaker, and you're already back in the playoffs for a second straight year now in the region title game, getting the host that's sitting there undefeated on the year so far here for you all. What does that mean to you in just your second year as the head coach of this program that's got obviously a storied history, and now with you this in just your second year, what's it mean to you to have them already in a region title game? And already, if you win, you'll get to host the state semifinal as well. I know you're not looking ahead, but that fact's out there as well right now.
Yeah, that's huge, you know, when Coach Hubbard had a, you know, a storied run here. And, you know, when I came in, expectations, I guess, were a little bit lower, you know, and they hadn't had a good run of it. But, you know, the talent was here, and, you know, being able to get a great staff in like I have, and getting the players all bought in and being able to accomplish this is it's huge. You know, it's been a great thing, and the people at Honeaker have been amazing. And, you know, it just goes to show what can happen when everybody's bought in and when everybody is, you know, respectful and does great things. And you know, as you, you know, anything I need, they're there for, anything like that. So it's amazing, you know, and it's, you know, it wasn't just me. Like I said, it was all the coaches and the players. So.
And what's going to be the biggest keys for y'all against Rykov on Saturday to try to pull out a regional title there for the Tigers?
You know, like I said, their defense is tough. We've got to score when we have opportunities, you know, in the red zone. I think last time we played, we had a couple trips in the red zone that we didn't convert on fourth down. And then another one where I think we, you know, we fumbled going into the end zone. So those things like that, we've got to convert, not have letdowns when we get in the red zone. And, you know, defensively, we've got to shore up some areas there where we had letdowns against them and be, you know, get hats to the ball and make sure tackles and like I said, do the little things. And I think good things will happen to us then.
That's the head coach of the Honeaker Tigers, Todd Tiller, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Thank you so much to Gary Collier and Todd Tiller joining us here in this segment. Coming up next after the break, we will talk to the head coaches in the Region 2D title game, Tony Palmer, Graham, and Travis Turner at Union, as we continue. It's Pigskin Picks, 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Health Keepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Health Keepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
Welcome back in here to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Jacob Downs here with you. Corey Sanchez and Zach Helton will join us coming up in the next segment. We're going to talk some college football heading into the final week of the regular season. Rivalry week there in college football. Obviously, Ohio State, Michigan is the big game there on the docket, but other interesting games. We get closure to the college football playoff and Selection Sunday coming up in a little about week and a half, December 3rd. It'll be interesting to see how this all will play out there, because plenty of scenarios where some teams are going to be left out and be left unhappy going into their bowl game heading on into their offseason here at the end of the year. But that's not what either team wants in a Region 2D title game coming up this weekend either. We'll have this game for you right here on 93.5 WAXM Saturday. Kickoff time 2 o'clock, pregame around 1:45. Myself and Corey will have the call from Bullet Park and Big Stone Gap. And it's another rematch. We talked about it last segment. Everything's a rematch this time of the year. These two teams played back at Mitchell Stadium in Bluefield back on September 15th, and Union won that game 27-14 over the G-Men, and it snapped a 33-game regular season winning streak for Graham. It snapped an 18-game home winning streak for the G-Men, and the Bears were able to get their first win over the G-Men since that spring season of 2021 in what was the playoffs. This will be the 12th time in the program's history they'll play each other. Union leads the all-time series 6-5. Now, Tony Palmer wasn't around as the head coach for the first time these two played each other in the playoffs in 2012. He was when they first played again a second time in 2015. And since then, this will be their 11th matchup in the last 9 years between these two teams. Thanks to regular season meetings, beginning with the series starting in 2019 in the regular season, and obviously in the postseason, where they've now met several years, and not exactly in the row, but they've still met more times than not in the playoffs since that time in 2015. In those 10 meetings over the last 9 years between Travis Turner and Tony Palmer, it split right down the middle. 5 wins for Union, 5 wins for Graham. Something we'll have to give Saturday afternoon, and something we'll have to give with a return trip to a state semifinal for somebody. Graham, obviously the defending state champions, they were just there last year. Played the state title game the year prior to that as well in 2021. For Union, they haven't been to the state semifinal since that spring season of 2021. We'll see if they can get back there this time around. It won't be easy against the G-Men. When I spoke with the head coach at Graham, Tony Palmer, earlier this week, he talked about the fact his team is playing their best football at the right time and coming off good performances in the first two rounds of the playoffs in wins over Lehigh and Gate City. Here's my conversation with the head coach of the Graham G-Men, Tony Palmer. Coach, let's go back to the Gate City game last week. It was a tough first quarter there against the Blue Devils. Y'all sort of broke away there in the second half to win by 21 over Jeremy Housewright's squad. What was the biggest difference against Gate City last week in the second round, I should say?
Coach Housewright, he's done a great job with those guys, and their program is definitely on the up, from where they were. So and the kids seemed excited, and they played extremely hard, and it was a good formidable opponent for us.
And you now move on to the Region 2D title game, a spot where you all know very well. What do you get your team set up for when you know you're going on the road in the playoffs? What do you change about maybe some preparation from where you've been playing at home the first 2 weeks to now heading on the road to go to Bullet Park this Saturday?
Well, yeah, we try to keep things, keep as much familiarity with what we do as we possibly can. We just got to get on the road and go down to Bullet Park, a great place to play football. The atmosphere there is outstanding. The fans would be great. And, we look forward to the challenge.
It's Thanksgiving week, Coach. It's what you're always talking about coming into a year. Certainly for you all, y'all hope to get past Thanksgiving week, obviously. But to know you make it to Thanksgiving week means you're playing for a regional title. What's the schedule looking like for you all this week? Try to get everything ready with the holidays. And also, I'm sure missing some school this week due to the holidays as well with the Saturday game, knowing you've played on Fridays the last few weeks in the playoffs.
Well, we ended up playing on Friday, so it gave us an extra day. It'll be some weightlifting going on this week, and then we'll start a normal practice regimen. We enjoy practicing on Thanksgiving because, when you're practicing on Thanksgiving, you've had a pretty successful season. And that's a goal for ours, to be practicing on Thanksgiving. That's one of the things we can check off. We just have to get down there and try to play some football and try to give Union a challenge.
Tony Palmer, head coach of the Graham Gima, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WXM. You faced off against Union back in September at Mitchell Stadium. Union winning that game 27-14. You all were certainly going through some health issues at that time. Tyjus Clements, I believe, just came back just for that game after missing the first few games prior to that one earlier on in the season. What can you take away from a game that was played now over 2 months ago into this one this coming week?
I don't think there's anything that we can take, you know, we can take from it except for what we know as far as what Union is. I mean, they're a very physical football team. They're very well coached. Those kids play together. They play for each other. And, you know, I think we're a bit of the same way. So, like I said, it should be a pretty good football game if we get down there and try to play our game.
You all played Tazewell pretty late in the regular season. They just got done playing Tazewell in the second round of the playoffs, winning 27-6. Do you all maybe get more of a read out of seeing what they do against a mutual opponent in sort of a recent time in that way than you do going back to that other game?
Well, I think that, you know, everybody's different. Football is a game of matchups a lot of times. So, you know, they won't play Tazewell the same way they played us. They probably won't. I mean, they could, but. You know, you got different people, different positions, different talent levels. You know, things change according to who you play. You just have to be able to make adjustments and try to put yourself in the best position for your football team to win.
Knowing what you know about this Union team, facing off against them usually multiple times a year, you are here again once again this season as well. What do you see from this year's team on film from what you know about them with Travis Turner's squad?
Oh, they're going to play hard. They're going to be disciplined. Like I said, man, they've got a great football program. We got nothing but respect for Coach Turner and Union and how they do things. So, I mean, it's a blue-collar type of team, and that's what we try to fashion ourselves as, too. So it should be a dogfight.
You all have got talent all over the field on the offense and your skill positions, obviously. Their defense has been spectacular all year long, averaging only giving about 9 points a game. They've only given up 108 points total throughout the season through 12 games. What's going to be the most important thing for your offense to get some rhythm going against that defense there early and often on Saturday afternoon against the Bears?
Well, we got to stay patient and do what we do. Do what, you know, try to do the things that we're successful at. And, you know, try to stay, keep our poise and keep our character and just, you know, just play football. We can't get caught up in, you know, in different things to where we're trying to, you know, beat them in a certain aspect. We just got to play balance. We've got to play as a unit. And then we just have to execute and limit the mistakes offensively. We also have to be better in the, you know, with discipline as far as penalties go. So that's one thing that we cannot go down there and have a lot of penalties and be successful in that game.
Their offense looks a little bit different at the end of this year than they have in recent years when you faced off against them in the playoffs because of what they have on the outside with Paul Huff, Cam Bostic, Braxton Bunch, Keontae Orsby as their top four receivers. They're able to pass the ball a little bit more than they have in recent years rather than they're not sort of as much relying upon the T formation in the run game, although they do still bring it out fairly often, certainly in some goal line situations, short yardage situations for their team this season. For your defense, what is going to be the biggest key for you all on that side of the ball Saturday against the Bears?
Well, we have to be disciplined and do the things that we're coached to do. We have to let them know that we're there to play football early and often as well. So we have to win the physicality aspect of the game. I think that we have to, at the point of attack, we have to control the line of scrimmage if we can. So that's going to be a challenge for us. And then you have to keep the quarterback caged up a little bit. I mean, that guy, he's dynamic. I mean, the running back runs hard, so, and you got good receivers on the outside, just like you said, so it's going to be a challenge.
That's head coach of the Graham Gima, Tony Palmer, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. They take on Union in the Region 2D title game Saturday afternoon. We'll have for you here on WAXM. And the head coach of the Bears, Travis Turner, joined us once again this week as we talked to Travis so many times throughout the season, certainly here in the postseason each and every week as we've had all of their postseason games so far. Wins over Tazewell last week, 27-6. First-round win over Virginia High, 34-6. Now they've got the big test. With another Southwest District opponent coming to town, it's Graham. It's a team that hasn't lost in a Region 2D playoff game since, again, Union, spring 2021. Remember that name, that title, that game comes up a lot in this series because it was the walk-off touchdown by Johnny Satterfield at the time on the final play of regulation. It thought the game was going into overtime. It was tied at 24, and then Satterfield broke loose for a 58-yard rushing touchdown to end the game, and Union won 30-24 to get the win there over the G-Men, and moving on into that time, the regional title game that year where they went on to beat Central to move on to the state semifinals before falling to Appomattox that year in 2021. Now, Union looking to get back to the state semifinals. We should tell you the reasoning here of what may happen next week. If Union and or Graham win, they will have to go on the road if Radford wins Region 2C. Radford hosts Glenver Friday night. That's a Friday night state semifinal game. We'll pick that game coming up later on in the show. If Radford wins, no matter who wins Union Graham, they're heading to Radford. If Glenver pulls off the upset over Radford, no matter who wins Union Graham, they host the state semifinal next week. So that is the implications of that matchup. We'll have that already known by the time we go on the air Saturday afternoon for the Region 2D title game. When I spoke to the head coach of the Bears, Travis Turner, earlier this week, we talked about the fact of his team's performance against Tazewell. Their defense was smothering, as they have been all year long, only giving up 108 points through 12 games, an average of 9 points per game for the Bears and that strong defense. Here's my conversation with head coach of the Bears, Travis Turner. Coach, let's start off of last week with Tazewell. First half, your offense moved the ball fairly well. They weren't getting the ball in the end zone. A long drive to open up the game took a lot of time off the clock as well. Weren't able to punch it in. Had a 12-0 lead there at one point. Then Tazewell battled back, cut it 12-6 going into the fourth quarter. They had a chance to tie and even take the lead. Your defense got a big stop there, leading to a 21-point victory. What was the biggest thing for your team on Saturday against the Bulldogs to get the second-round win?
I tell you, I thought our offensive line and our defensive line probably played their best game of the year. Thought offensively we were able to control the football for the most part of the game, and to keep their offense on the sideline and being able to run the football and Rayshon being able to complete some third down conversions to Paul Huff was big to keep the chains moving. And defense line, I think we had 6 sacks on the day. And every time Tazewell was passing, we had somebody in his face and forcing a bad throw or an errant throw that led to a couple of interceptions.
Yeah, and I thought you all did a nice job of making them have to do some dinks and dunks, some screen passes. They weren't, and that's something they like to do in their offense anyways, but they didn't have any chance to go deep on any of their plays because, one, your secondary had, I thought, good coverage, but also, as you said, your defensive line didn't give Creasy, their quarterback, any time at all to have any chance of trying to take a shot down the field.
Yeah. Braxton Bunch, Paul Huff, Cam Bostic, Caden Phillips, Rayshon Anderson, all those guys played real well for us. Defensive back, our two inside backers, Isaac Keith, Keyshawn Anderson played well, stopping the run. I think we held them to minus 10 yards rushing for the game. And, defensive line, that was the key, getting pressure on the quarterback and not giving him time to sit back there in the pocket to throw the deep ball.
After seeing you all the last 2 weeks in the first round, and I've seen you all several times, 7 or 8 times now throughout the entire season, obviously throughout the year on WAXM for the games, what I've seen is that both Virginia High and Tazewell, I thought, have done a nice job of keeping you all from the big plays on offense. And it's why maybe at the end of the game people can go, hey, wait, maybe that offense isn't hitting on all cylinders or anything like that because the score's not as high, but they're keeping you all where you all are still having your long drives, as you all are known to do so if you're running game and everything else. But you've sort of been held off the big plays the last 2 weeks by Virginia High and Tazewell. What is the biggest things you all are going to try to do to try to get those big plays going this coming week against Graham?
Well, I mean, we got to execute. We got to finish drives. It's like you said, that opening drive, we drive it down the field and have a false start penalty, kind of kill the drive and put us in a long distance situation. We got to execute, finish drives, and being able to hit the big play. I mean, that'll come in the passing game or in a run game. Being able to make those plays and make them count when we get the opportunity.
Keith Chandler, another big game for the sophomore running back for you all, over 150 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns as well there for him. You all relied upon him a good bit throughout the years. You're all sort of your bell cow in the backfield. There's your top running back. And it seems like once again, and I've said this a couple times on the show throughout the year, Coach, you sort of wait for that sophomore slump to come with these guys. It's not happened with Keith. Why?
Well, I think Keith, he's just good football player, good athlete, multiple sport athlete. He's a hard worker, and
you know, I think he's lived for this moment, this situation that he's in as a sophomore, and he's done a really good job for us on offense and defense. And he's a heck of an outside linebacker too for us.
Yeah, he's been terrific there as well, and y'all's defense in general from the entire year, giving up only 108 points through 12 games, averaging just 9 points per game by the opponents, is pretty good to say the very least there in that regard. Let's turn the page and get set for this weekend, as I know you're ready to do so, because it's a massive one. Just the fact that it's Union versus Graham gives a whole new meaning to the game that just doesn't need any build-up to it. It's a reaching tootie title game. It's Thanksgiving weekend. It's a bit of the state semifinals on the line. What is different about your team since the last time you played Graham on September 15th?
I think we've gotten better, especially in the passing game. I think we're able to do some different things with our wide receivers and Rayshon at quarterback. And I think our offense line's gotten better. You know, Graham was week three or four. You know, we were starting six or seven sophomores, and it was early in the year for those guys. So they're not playing like sophomores. You said a while ago, they haven't had that sophomore slump. So they're playing like juniors. So we got some games under our belt. And Graham's a really good football team, very athletic, very fast, and well coached. So we definitely will have our hands full Saturday.
Change and improvement works both ways in that regard, though. When you look at Tony Palmer's squad, who was battling some health issues at the time, you were all faced off against them in September. Tyjus Clements was just coming back from an injury going into that game. What is it when you look at their team that's different since you saw them, that's now been almost fully 2 months and some change since that game?
I think they've gotten better up front. I think their line's gotten better, too. And obviously, Clemens' kid being 100% healthy, he's a difference maker. You know, he's a Division I running back. He's going to be playing on Saturday somewhere. Got four or five offers from different schools, and having him healthy is a big thing. You know, their wide receivers do a good job catching a football. Their quarterback play's gotten better throughout the year. You know, they're scoring a lot of points. They've been beating teams pretty handily throughout the season.
You bring up Tyjus Clements, their coach, and they do different things with him because he's such a talented guy. You want to get the ball in his hands as many times as possible, many different ways as possible. They're not afraid to put him behind center and just let him take the snap directly, whether you want to call it the Wildcat offense or whatever you want to call it there. When they do that, what does that change for a defense with where you don't have the development of the play from where it's going from the quarterback to the running back in a handoff of whatever style that would be, the way they want to run their offense, to where he's actually taking the direct snap, which he did last year when I saw him do it against Ridgeview in the same region title game a year ago, and he scored 7 touchdowns, and he did some last week against Gate City as well in the second round?
Yeah, it'll put you in a bind. When they get in that Wildcat direct snap formation with him, you know, you're playing 11 on 11. He's got 10 blockers, and he's carrying a football, and it's a numbers game. And you've got to match the numbers. You know, they do a tackle over, a little bit unbalanced. They put a big lineman back there at the H-back to block for him. So it's definitely a challenge for our defense to be able to control that. And it's, you know, like you said, he had 7 touchdowns last year in the regional championship game. And, you know, we've got to be ready to go this year because they're going to run that a lot this year.
You know Tony Palmer and that team as well as anybody really in the region. You may not be in the same district, but you play each other as much as you would as a district opponent, maybe even more with the way y'all faced off against recently in the regular season with y'all series there and then obviously in the postseason as well. 11th time y'all are going to play each other since 2015. Just in the last 9 years will be the 11th time you all have played each other. You split the last 10, 5-5. When you think of a Tony Palmer team, and you know him well personally as well, I know, Coach, what do you see and what do you expect when they come to town Saturday for the region title game?
Coach is going to have his guys ready to play. You know, every time we play Graham, man, it's a physical game, very emotional game. Two really good high school football programs, two schools in Graham High School and Union High School that are represented very well by the fan base. It should be a great crowd at Bullitt Park on Saturday. Tony does a great job with those guys, getting them ready to play, and got some really good athletes to go along with that. So it's definitely going to be a challenge for us for sure. Much respect to those guys. I mean, they're one of the top programs in Southwest Virginia, you know, state of Virginia. You know, he's done a really good job with them.
Biggest keys for your team against the G-men?
We're going to have to be able to stop Clemens. You know, I think that's why. That's number one. When they get in that wildcat set, that's going to be that's one thing we're going to have to really work at to control. You know, I don't think he's really been stopped this year, but we're just going to have to be able to control him and contain him. And then when they go to their spread sets, their passing games, our DBs are going to have to play real well. They've got two dynamic wide receivers that can catch the ball and take it to the house. They can make plays. And offensively for us, we're going to run the football, control the clock, and play a physical brand of football.
That's head coach of the Union Bears, Travis Turner, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Union host Graham, Saturday afternoon, kickoff time, 2 o'clock, pregame around 1:45. We'll have it for you right here on 93.5 WAXM and online at WAXM.com. Looking forward to that one. Myself and Corey will have the call. Speaking of Corey, he'll rejoin me along with Zach Helton, who have the call of Rykov and Honecker, our Region 1D title game, over on 92.5 and 1220 WLSD and online at WLSDradio.com Saturday afternoon. That's a 1 o'clock kickoff there, pregame around 1245. Those two guys will join me coming up here on the next segment. We talk some college football. Tennessee gets blown out again. Virginia Tech loses a tough one at home to NC State and now need a win for bowl eligibility. We'll talk about all that when we continue. Pigskin Picks, 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Health Keepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Health Keepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
Look! I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, chicken, turkeys, rabbits.
You name it! Look!
I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes,
I tell you what, chicken, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Welcome back to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Corey, Zach, this is what you guys wanted, right? This is my Thanksgiving gift to you all.
Bless you. Yeah, I'm heavier. I'm heavier than I was last week. I know that at this moment. So feeling good about myself.
Did you do your 5 o'clock weighing? Was that your weigh time there? 5 o'clock on Thanksgiving?
I'm already ashamed. I'm not nowhere near my plane weight anyway. So I give that up here. So I don't get near a scale unless I have to.
That's understandable. I don't blame you there at all. I'm right there in the same case there with you. We should also say this, Zach. We were remiss not to do so at the beginning of the show. Earlier this week, it was a happy birthday for our co-host, Corey Sanchez.
Corey, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Happy birthday from the Shoney's gang.
It's his final one, Zach, where he actually matters on his birthday. Because now, going forward, even on November 21st, it'll be all about Zane coming here in a few. We can't even say a few months anymore. We're kind of down like several weeks.
We're less than like 70 days away from the little dude's arrival. I'm excited last year was the last one I worried about. I was actually on Tuesday going around looking through the store looking at stuff for him on my birthday. So I'm like, Yeah, I said, you don't matter.
Father of the year material right there, everybody. And, Zach, my only real question is this. It's a two-parter. Was Terry Kilgore invited to Corey's birthday party since he's now a member of the Gate City Collective down there in that area Rocky of Scott
killer.
County? And secondly, would Terry Kilgore be invited to the birth of Zane come the next time when Zane enters this world? Because it's time, fellas, to give away our Terry Kilgore Good Delegate Leadership Award for the week, our Player of the Week. We do so every week, and we're going back to the well, and we're going back to Scott County. Where else would you go for a Terry Kilgore Award? And, Corey, you saw this guy this past week. Zach will see him this week. That's the junior quarterback at Rye Cove. Landon Lane was a 12 out of 19 passer for 100 yards against Twin Springs, but where he did his damage was mostly with his legs on the ground. 21 carries, 147 yards, and two touchdowns in the 18-7 second-round victory over Twin Springs to send the Eagles on to the Region 1D title game. Congratulations once again to Landon Lane of Rye Cove, our Terry Kilgore Good Delegate Leadership Award winner, our Player of the Week on this Thanksgiving week on Pigskin Picks. Congratulations, Landon and Rye Cove. And he's hopefully got one more left in him, and they hope for a lot more. Every time I talk to Gary Collier, guys, he's been on the show the last 4 weeks, going back to the regular season, he said, hey, I hope to talk to you again next week, because we do it almost at the every time. He says, I hope to talk to you next week. Coach, I hope to do so with you as well if things go right for you on the road at Honaker this coming week there against the Tigers. Let's talk some college football here, fellas. Let's run through some of these games kind of quickly. I'm going to just toss a couple at you. Georgia beat Tennessee this past week 38-10. We all like the Bulldogs. I told you last week I didn't see any way Tennessee could keep up with Georgia. They got the 75-yard touchdown on play number one, and then the rest of the way it was all Georgia there in that ball game. Not much to really get to in that one there, about as you would expect. Zach, North Carolina State over Virginia Tech 35-28. We were all in the Hokies. We were all drinking the maroon and orange Kool-Aid going in the last week. You were there. You saw for your own eyes. Dave Dorn of the Wolfpack get the big win.
Yeah, I had some Kool-Aid pregame, and it wore off quickly after the performance. You know what? It wasn't even that close. It wasn't that close. A couple of late efforts there for Tech kind of closed the gap. It was a 35-14 ball game. But you look at the stats, Tech's offense was just kind of anemic. They've got to put up a better effort going into Charlottesville, or otherwise they're going to be sitting at home for the holidays again.
Yeah, and it's one of those games I told you a couple weeks ago, it's going to be interesting. Can't count out Virginia quite yet. We'll get to the Cavaliers here in just a moment. Washington, the number 5 team in the country, going into this week. Now, again, we recorded the show earlier this week prior to the rankings released of this week by the College Football Playoff Committee Tuesday night. So they were ranked number 5. I'm thinking they're going to move up, fellas. They beat Oregon State 22-20. Lauren and Zach had the Huskies. Corey, you and I took a flyer on the Beavers. This is another good win there for Washington. I think they were going to be moved up over Florida State even before the injury to Jordan Travis. But now with Jordan Travis' season and career being over with there at Florida State, I think the Huskies are probably moving up inside the top four going into the final week of the regular season, and rightfully so, as they're able to get the big win in Corvallis over Oregon State.
Yeah, that was a bad injury by that youngin' too. I've seen politicians that had straighter records than that leg on Saturday. Whew.
And Zach, you there with me on this one? Washington over Florida State. But here's my question to you guys. How do you look at Florida State right now, knowing they don't have their starting quarterback? Do you, at this point, if you're in the committee room, do you start now rethinking your ranking on them by what you're projecting they're going to be like about Jordan Travis? Or do you wait, Zach, on seeing how they will look with their backup quarterback now with Jordan Travis' season being over? Because Jordan was a big guy and a big cog in what was working well for them for the first 10 games of the season.
Yeah, I think you've got to wait, especially with them being undefeated. They've got an opportunity to finish the regular season and the ACC title game undefeated. I think if they run the table, they're going to be in the mix of the top four, because obviously someone is going to be dropped out between Ohio State and Michigan. Now, if Florida State drops the game, I do see them plummeting pretty far. I won't say out of the top 10, but probably out of the top 5 at least. I think you kind of wait and let this play out. This isn't quite necessarily like basketball does. Basketball will do that. Basketball will feed you
especially late in the year if someone's down with an injury and not going to be played in March.
Or my favorite one they do in basketball, hey, this guy missed 2 months, but he's played the last 2 weeks. We like the way they look at this guy. We're going to boost him up.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sure. Wipe away whatever else happened the previous 4 months of the season. I agree with you. I still think they're going to probably be dropped down to 5 behind Washington. And I think that was going to happen even with Jordan Travis still playing. The question's going to be, with now just 2 games left on the schedule, as you say, that Florida this week, we'll pick that game later on in the show, and then an ACC title game against Louisville in 2 weeks in Charlotte, what will that look like for them moving forward? Let's say they are able to beat Florida, but it's ugly. It's 16-13. It's backup quarterback versus backup quarterback because Florida lost Graham Mertz as well Saturday night against Missouri with a broken collarbone. They're starting QB there in the fourth quarter against the Tigers. What will that say to the committee about that sort of place for them? Because I agree with you. I don't think you should be punished quite yet for what we think you're going to look like without your quarterback until we actually see you without him against a power opponent, not just North Alabama, as we saw him play fairly well there against North Alabama in the rest of the first half and the second half Saturday night in Tallahassee. It'll be interesting to see how the committee sort of handles that here at this point because we're still waiting on some chaos, and the chaos has not came quite yet. Only 2 more weeks to find it at this point of the year. Clemson over North Carolina, 31-20. We all took the Tigers. Virginia beat Duke 30-27. Louisville defeated Miami 38-31. I was the only one of the Hurricanes. Let me ask you this question right here, right now, right here, guys. How many teams, when you look at the top 10, actually still have a chance to make the college football playoff? And my question here is this, Corey. Does it go as deep as Louisville? Does Louisville still have a chance for the playoff of what they could be as a one-loss ACC champion? Their last 2 games are Kentucky this week at home and then the conference championship game against Florida State. If they win both of those games, do the Cardinals right now ranked at number 10 still have a chance for the college football playoff?
Oh, I would see where you have an argument for that, but you know, the Louisville that we've seen over the last couple of weeks, that they've had that ugly win against UVA at home, and then this one against Miami too. And granted, it was down in Miami, but like Zach says, nobody goes out there and really watch these games anymore. So I think you have an argument, but I think the prevailing mind will be no, I don't think they make it in there.
The wins are one thing, Zach. I think they've got a disqualifying loss. I think they have as bad of a loss as there is in the country this year, and it's by far the worst loss for a team who's trying to make a case for the playoff. A loss to what is right now a 3-8 Pittsburgh team is their one loss this season. In my opinion, that's a disqualifying loss, even if they do go out there and win the ACC and sit there at 12-1 on Selection Sunday.
Yeah, and I'll even go further that no one-loss ACC champion is going to make it to the Final Four. If let's say Florida State trips up this week against Florida but beats Louisville, they're not making it to the ACC title game either. So the ACC is weak. Everyone knows it. And definitely that Pitt loss looks awful. So I don't see Louisville making it as a one-loss team, and I don't see Florida State making it if they roll in as a one-loss team.
We're going to do some scenarios next week if we have the time to do so about the playoff going into the championship weekend. And if Florida State's still sitting there as an undefeated team, if they get by Florida this week, there's going to be an interesting conversation of if they could still be passed over even as 13-0 ACC champions. And they would do that with an out-of-conference wins over LSU and Florida on their resume if that did happen. We'll do all that next week. We'll sort of cross that bridge when we get there if we're still sitting at that point with them being 12-0 at that juncture. But there's some interesting conversations to have about that point because the chaos has not occurred this year. There's no conference in the Power Five who has eliminated themselves yet. But as Zach says, let's say Florida State loses. I agree with him. I think that probably does eliminate them. I think we're down to 8 teams for the playoff. I think the line cuts off right there at Alabama at number 8, and nobody below them has a chance to make the playoff at this point of the year. Appalachian State beats James Madison. The good story comes to an end in the regard of the undefeated team. That's still a phenomenal story in Harrisonburg there with the Dukes as they sit there at 10-1. Appalachian State wins in overtime 26-23 over James Madison with College Game Day there. South Carolina beat Kentucky 17-14. Corey and Zach like the Gamecocks. They get the win. South Carolina still battling for a bowl game. They'll do so if Clemson coming to town Saturday night. Number 17, Arizona, how do you do, Jetfish? Blows out Utah, 42-18. Myself and Lauren like the Wildcats. Jed Fish has done a phenomenal job, and this is flying under the radar. They still have a chance for the for a Pac-12 championship slot if there's a shakeup of Oregon against Oregon State. Arizona can still find their way into the Pac-12 title game. Amazing job that Jed Fish has done this year out there in Tucson. And if it was the old-fashioned way of divisions, they would be in the title game because Washington and Oregon would be in the same division. Arizona would win their division. They'd be in the Pac-12 title game if there still was divisions in the Pac-12 in their final year. UCLA blows out USC 38-20. Lauren picked the Bruins. The rest of us had the Trojans. Chip Kelly was on the hot seat going into the game. He may still very well be, but he survives another week of the win over his in-city rival there, the Trojans. And Lincoln Riley and the Trojans go into a bowl game wondering what is their future. Kansas State gets over Kansas 31-27. Myself and Lauren like the Wildcats. And ETSU gets win number 3 over Winless Citadel 35-23. We all like the Buccaneers, but shakeup did occur. I told you last week to expect an announcement before Monday. It happened Sunday afternoon right after church. George Quarles relieved of his duties after two seasons in Johnson City as the head coach of the Buccaneers. Last week it was Lauren who went 8-12. Zach 6-12. Myself and Corey 5-12. Standings in college, I have 91 for 69.5%, Zach 87 for 66.4%, and Corey 86 for 65.6%. All right, guys, time for the Eliminator. College Football Eliminator. We'll start off with Corey. Alabama, Michigan, Oregon, Louisville, my team, Georgia, Texas, Oregon State, and Missouri, Zach, Ohio State, Florida State, Washington, and Ole Miss. Corey, any changes to your team?
I think I'd be a fool to change anything.
He likes where he's at, is what I'm hearing. He likes where he's at.
And
again, as I said, we'll have the scenarios next week. If an Oregon team gets revenge on Washington, could a one-loss Pac-12 champion get in over an undefeated ACC champion in Florida State? Again, we'll get to all that next week. Some interesting scenarios there. And as I look at my team, Georgia, Texas, Oregon State, and Missouri, Texas is another team that could be a one-loss conference champion and maybe be left out because of the fact that some other things could happen above them and even behind them where a team they beat could hop over them if they win their conference. Yes, we're looking at you, Alabama. Oregon State loses. Missouri survives. I'm going to actually stick with where I'm at because, again, as I say every year, you've got to fill this thing of 12 teams. I think Oregon State's a top 12 team in the country. And what I saw the other night against Washington is going to leave me in there with them as the 12th team on my board. I'm going to leave Oregon State in there. Missouri is still in the top 10. I'm going to stay put here, Zach. Your team, Ohio State, Florida State, Washington, and Ole Miss, they all won. Obviously, Florida State had the injury, but I'm guessing you're staying the same as well.
Yeah, I don't really have any other options. So I'm going to stay put.
Going to stay put for right now. If you did it by the top four going into this week, Zach would have two teams in the playoff. He'd be the only one who could say that. Ohio State and Florida State and or Washington, whoever's number four out of that group, would be his second team. But there's a chance Michigan could slide in there. Oregon and Alabama are still on the table. Georgia, Texas are still on the table there for me as well. I think that, as we said, there's eight teams still out there. Corey has three of them. Zach has three. I have two of them, Georgia and Texas. We'll see who can get the most here in a couple of weeks come Selection Sunday. All right, it is time to pick some games coming up after the break. We got some college games on Thanksgiving week to get to, rivalry games. You know what's coming up on a Thanksgiving weekend, and playoff games in Tennessee and in Virginia. We'll get to all that as we continue. It's Pigskin Picks right here on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Health Keepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Health Keepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
Closing time. Open all the doors.
Welcome back to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. And at this point of the night, may we very well be the last to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. And may we also may be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas at this time of the year. As we are winding it down here on a Thursday night on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Fellas, Zach Helton, Corey Sanchez I'm talking to. I'm Jacob Townsend. Going to do any shopping tomorrow? Huh? A little Black Friday shopping? We're going to wait maybe Cyber Monday? What are y'all plans?
No.
That was a hard no, I hear there.
Online, that would be about it for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. All right.
I'm not going to Walmart fighting someone over a computer.
What would you fight somebody over at a Walmart?
A Virginia Tech National Championship. So you ain't fighting someone at a Walmart for that. At a Walmart.
Corey, what would you fight somebody over with at a Walmart? A Commander Super Bowl?
Watch your mouth. See, why you gotta be ugly like that? Why you gotta be ugly? See,
happy Thanksgiving.
See, look, that happened on January 2nd. So, thank goodness that man's not here anymore. But you know what? I will tell people, you can get some good deals. If you're looking for newborn stuff and kid stuff, you can get it. I become that dad already. He's not even here. So.
I would also give this warning to the people out there. Just because it says it's a special deal for Black Friday doesn't mean it's actually a special deal for Black Friday. See if it's the same deal next Wednesday. Just saying.
You're right.
Just putting it out there. Just putting it out there and seeing if the cat will lick it up.
How many times have you got suckered by that, Townsend?
If you think I'm a Black Friday shopper, then you don't really know me, sir.
No, I'm just saying, how many times? I just feel like you would have got suckered like that a couple of times.
I've been suckered plenty, and not always by the by the old store, if you know what I mean.
I feel like, yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah, you never know. You think you're getting a good deal, and then all of a sudden you look up and you go, wait a second, 2 weeks ago I paid the same price.
That's right.
Now it's cheaper? What the heck's going on here? That's the way life goes. All right, guys, we've wrapped up our Eastman Credit Union guest picker standings. And can we give a congratulations and an all-call warning out to our old buddy Alan Gregory? I saw Alan Saturday afternoon at Bullet Park. He came by, said hello to me, was covering the Tazewell Union game. Digging in a great chance to talk to him for a long time. But our champion in 2023, our third annual Eastman Credit Union guest picker champion here on Pigskin Picks, Alan Gregory of the Bristol Herald Courier. Happy Thanksgiving to Alan and his family, as hopefully they'll have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and they've had one today, and hopefully they do so knowing that he's a Pigskin Picks champion, fellas. Couldn't happen to a better guy.
I agree.
And I'll tell you what, guys, I saw on Facebook, now I understand Facebook's not where you want to find all your facts at, but since it came from his account, I'm going to take it as fact, Zach. He wants us to do a basketball game together, is that what I'm reading?
Yeah, I think so. Wednesday might be the chance, or Monday it might be the chance, I think.
I think there may be an obligation there for me that won't be able to work that out for me. I can't remember what it is, though. I don't know what it is.
Why are you scared?
It's not. I promise you, there's no fear. I promise you. That's not what it is. Cole Johnson's number two there from WCYB. We'll see if maybe Cole wants to do a basketball game and see how it goes there. I don't know. It's that time of the year. Relationships matter sometimes. Cole Johnson, 91.7%, 22 out of 24. Remember, Allen was 24 out of 26, 92.3%. They both only missed two games. Allen beats him by 6/10 of a point, though, by the percentages. Sorry, Cole. Welcome to the area. You're runner-up. Tim Hayes from the Herald Courier finishes in third place at 76%. Pat Kenny, our 2022 champion, he finishes in fourth place, 73.7%. Hey, Pat was our first one, guys. Put a number out there on the board. It stuck up there pretty high. Give credit to old Pat Kenny there in week one for that number. Lauren Bradford, our guest picker last week, 72.2%. She's the runner-up from WCYB, but finishes fifth in our point standing, 13 out of 18. The coach, James Colley, finishes in sixth place, 72%. Lauren beats him out by 0.2 there for second place of WCYB. Colley's broadcast partner, the newsman now these days, and spent a little time in Aruba recently, I saw. Casey Getz from WCYB, 70.8%. Our guy, our favorite guest picker. No offense to the other 12 of them out of the 13, but this is our favorite one. Steve Curran, the voice of the UVA Wise Cavaliers, 70.4%. Happy Thanksgiving out there to you, Curran. Hopefully it was a wonderful one at Middle Fork. 19 out of 27. Hope the hot tub is nice and warm this evening. Heather Williams.
Don't put a turkey in the hot tub.
Is that not how you're supposed to cook it?
No.
That's always been my issue. That's some funny stuff, though.
Yeah. That's some funny stuff how these people, like, don't understand how to get the turkey working and all that good stuff. It's a wild mess.
You got to thaw it out.
You got to.
And it can't happen Thursday morning if you're trying to do a Thursday lunch. That doesn't happen.
You should be doing it like Tuesday.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. But while you're trying to eat during the Lions, is it Lions-Packers, Corey? Is that the first game? Yeah. Hopefully, if you're going to try to eat during Lions-Packers, you start thawing out maybe during Eagles-Chiefs. Just saying. Heather Williams is the ninth place, our 2021 champion. Andrew McClung in 10th place at 69.2%. That's all from WCYB. McClung, Andy, last place at the WCYB, guys. Hate that for you. Nick Dugan, JHL, 68% at 11th. Kenny Hawkins from WJHL is in 12th place at 60.9%. And our good buddy, Tanner Cook, Kingsport Times News, is bringing up the rear. 59.3%, 16 out of 27. Okay. All the way back in August, fellas. All the way back in August. Have we been in that long?
At the bottom all year.
Yep. Heavens to Betsy. He was our second one of the year. He was our second guest picker. Yep. Second guest picker. Wow.
Oh, my gosh. That's bad.
Brutal.
Let me tell you something. If I was a lesser man, I may have a few words for him in a press box, but I'm not that kind of person. All right. Let's pick some Black Friday games.
If I catch him Saturday, I'll say something to him.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see where Cookie is at this Saturday. That's going to be interesting. Does he follow Scott County? I would think he'd be in Bullet Park as well. He did go all the way to Mitchell Stadium back in September. My guess is he will probably find his way to Big Stone Gap. UTSA, the Roadrunners. They're 8-3, Corey. Remember when I sort of told you all to keep an eye on UTSA in the Tennessee game back in September, and I was called crazy. I was called all these horrible things. They've got a chance to play for an American Athletic Conference championship. If they get a win over Tulane, who may be very well on their way to a New Year's Six Bowl for a second straight year for Willie Fritz and the Hurricanes, how about the Green Wave, I should say. I beg your pardon. Friday, 3:30, ABC. Corey, I'll start off with you, sir. Who do you like in New Orleans, the Roadrunners or the Green Wave?
I mean, you know, with a guy named Willie Fritz leading your squad, how can I go against you? Like, Willie Fritz looks like he made his money and ate at Long John Silver's all his life. That's with a name like that. That sounds like so. I gotta go with Willie Fritz in the voice.
I've only got one question for you, Corey. But does he feel heavy?
Yes.
Okay.
Very.
Okay. I'll take Tulane at home as well, Zach, because I think Willie Fritz should be in line for the Mississippi State job. I think he makes a lot of sense there at Starkville, as does an old buddy of our show, Jamie Chadwell at Liberty. They can make their own decisions. They'll make their own wrong and right decisions there in Starkville. But if they're asking the search firm of Jacob Townsend, that'd be two names at the top of my list for them there in Starkville, Mississippi. But the team on the other side, Jeff Traylor and UTSA, Jeff's being talked about is already interviewing for the Texas A&M job. They're in College Station. He's been asked about it two times already in recent days, and he's not happy about it. Can they take out their frustration of all that on Tulane and pull off the upset on the road?
Yeah, you got two solid coaches coaching for some resume building right now. We know all about those search firms. They usually do a tremendous job of making the right picks every time they get a chance. I'm going to go Tulane at home, though, in this one. I think they are setting up themselves for a New Year's Six Bowl.
Yeah, hopefully they'll let me hopefully I'll get some information on how well the search firm's doing, and I can maybe pass them on to my alma mater as well. I'll take Tulane at home. It's the Civil War Will it be for the final time? We'll wait and see. Friday, 8:30, Fox, Oregon State travels to Oregon. Back in Eugene, the Ducks trying to get to 11-1 to a Pac-12 title game, setting up a rematch, looking for revenge against Washington if they can get the chance to do so, Zach. How does it go there between the Beavers and the Ducks Friday night?
Man, I like this game. I think Oregon State's definitely better than an 8-3 record. I think I'm going to go Beavers in a slight upset on the road.
On the road. Boy, I tell you what, you think Oregon State would find some joy in that? Final game, yeah. Maybe against Oregon. You get to upset them, knock them out of the playoff conversation, maybe even out of the Pac-12 title game. And you say, hey, enjoy the Big Ten. Talk to you later, fellas. We'll see you next Christmas. Corey, who do you like in Eugene? You like the Beavers last week. How about the Ducks? They're in your eliminator.
I got to go with the Ducks. Quack, quack.
I believe in Oregon State. I believe in their head coach, Jonathan Smith. He deserves opportunities at bigger name jobs that will give him more money. He's a phenomenal coach. And when Kalen DeBoer maybe leaves for Washington, leaves Washington for a bigger job at some point, maybe Washington's that job where he was an assistant coach at before. But he bleeds orange and black as a Beaver where he played college football at for Mike Riley. But it won't be enough against their most hated rival. Bo Nix is too much. He's bodacious. And give me Oregon at home there to move to 11-1 into the Pac-12 title game against Washington. Let's move to Saturday, fellas. 3:30 ESPNU. It's time for the Fun Belt. No conference I love to watch more than the Fun Belt. Usually like them on a weeknight. I'll take a Saturday afternoon special as well, though, Corey. Georgia Southern, coached by Clay Helton, the former USC head coach. They're 6-5. They travel to Boone to take on the boys from Boone. Appalachian State coming off the big win over James Madison on the road. They head home. It's senior day. Who do you like here between Georgia Southern and Appalachian State, Corey?
Give me App State in this one.
App State at home for Sanchez. Zach?
Yeah, if we weren't doing the game Saturday, I think this would be where we would be Saturday. This looks like a fun one. But I do think App State's got some momentum right now, especially after the big win last week. I'm going to go App State at home.
App State's won their last four games after sitting there 3-4. Remember the loss to Old Dominion? We picked that game last month. Lost a heartbreaker on NFL Network. They've turned it around since losing to the Monarchs, winning their last four, big win on the road at James Madison. Give me Sean Clark and the boys. I thought Sean Clark was in the hot seat. Not so much now. I think he gets another year there in Boone thanks to an 8-win season. Saturday, 3:30, ESPN2. They're on the deuce. James Madison travels to Conway. Let's head down to the Teal Turf. On this one here, Zach, against Coastal Carolina and the Chanticleers, can the Dukes bounce back?
Let me tell you something. Crazy things happen in the Myrtle Beach area when you least expect it. I don't think anything crazy happens this week. I think James Madison has a point to prove. They're still a top team, and I think they go down and get it done.
Corey?
Yeah, after all that whining and the Pat McAfee show saying, we belong, you're right where you're supposed to be at, but I think they do get the win.
Again, a bowl game should still be offered to them. And I believe,
yeah.
Can I say this?
Yeah, I agree with you.
No, they're going to play in a bowl game. Can somebody let the Attorney General know they're going to play in a bowl game? There's not going to be enough
teams. The Attorney General ain't watched this.
Hey,
he don't even know what's going on.
He's been on the station before. I've talked to him. 82 teams have to fill up the bowl games, okay? 82 teams are not going to be bowl eligible. Who are the top teams they have to take if there's not enough bowl eligible teams? James Madison, Jacksonville State. The Dukes are going to be fine. Hey, you're right. Your point is right, and they should have a chance to play for a conference title. That is correct. They're not going to have that opportunity, and that's a travesty. That's on the NCAA, but they will get their bowl game. Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, James Madison is going to be playing in the Pals Bowl at the Stone Castle right before the Arby's tournament gets going the day after Christmas.
Oh, God.
Do we get to call that game? Can we bid for broadcast rights?
Maybe. It might be on the CW, but if it's not, I think we got a shot.
You think I'm passing up on the CW? Come on now. The CW is full of upsets. Even North Alabama led 13-0 over Florida State. I'll take James Madison on the road, though. Coastal Carolina doesn't have Grayson McCall. It doesn't look like they're not going to have a chance against the Dukes. Let's head to Kentucky. Noon ABC. Kentucky looking to spoil Louisville season. They're 10-1. Let's head up to the Wildcats and the Cardinals here, Corey. Can Mark Stoops and Kentucky pull off the big win on the road? He's had Louisville's number over the years.
Ooh. They're my eliminator, too.
They are. That's correct.
They are. They are in my eliminator. you know what? I'm going to go against the grain in tradition. I'm going to go Louisville in this one.
Oh.
Louisville for Corey. I thought maybe against the grain, maybe he was going to go against the limiter. Not the case here, Zach. You going with ACC over SEC?
You know what? Man, this was a tough one. I'm in a good mood right now. I'm going to go Kentucky on the road. Another road upset of the week.
I would maybe be more lenient to pick that if I hadn't just watched Kentucky put South Carolina on the road. Mark Stoops is a problem right now in his program. They've got to find something to move forward at. The lenient schedule is getting him back to bowl games the last 2 years because they don't play anybody in the out-of-conference in September, which is a travesty in and of itself and the reason why Kentucky will never be what they should be in football and that they try to live up to be. There's a reason why, and it's because Mark Stoops right now is holding them back. Their offense is not where it needs to be. He wants to win game 17-14. Well, guess what, buddy? You just lost a game 17-14 because your offense couldn't move the ball. It's not going to be enough against Louisville. Give me the Cardinals at home. Jeff Brohm and the boys for the Louisville alum gets a win over Kentucky in his first try as a head coach at his alma mater. And it's the SEC-ACC week. We're going to pick Clemson, South Carolina here in a few moments. Florida, Florida State. We will not pick one of my old favorites, old clean fashion hate between Georgia Tech and Georgia, but that's also coming up this weekend as well. Texas A&M travels to LSU Saturday noon, ESPN, Zach. LSU's final chance for Jaden Daniels to have a Heisman moment and to make his case for New York City and the Heisman Trophy. Does he put on another show this time against the Aggies?
I think so. I'm going to go LSU in this one.
Corey?
Yeah, LS who?
I said it last week. I think if I was a voter, I'd vote Jaden Daniels. Bo Nix is making a good case for me, though. I'd think about Bo Nix. But Jaden Daniels would be my pick. 8 touchdowns last week, and that was against Georgia State. I understand. I don't care. I don't care if they were playing roast beef Tech last week. 8 touchdowns, 500-plus yards matters. That ties Joe Burrow's record. I'd vote Jaden Daniels if I had a vote. I'm texting my voting friends right now over the last few days saying, hey, if you're not paying attention, vote for Jaden Daniels. I'm making my case for him. I'm not sure if it's going to be enough. I'll take LSU at home. Saturday, 3:30, ACC Network. I'm coming back to you, Zach. Virginia Tech looking for a win to get back to a bowl game. Virginia just looking to play spoiler in Charlottesville. Who do you like there between the Hokies and the Cavs?
I'll tell you what, I saw Virginia Tech failed to move the ball really well Saturday. They've got to go up to Charlottesville and make some hay. I think Tech gets it done, but I think this one's closer than it comfortably should be on Saturday afternoon.
Corey, Virginia Tech only favored by a field goal, my friend, against 3-8 Virginia.
Last Saturday too.
They were. They were. Didn't pan out in their favor on that stanky line against the Wolfpack. The stank rode over home with the Wolfpack back to Raleigh. Now, Virginia's having the stank there of them on the home side coming off the big win over Duke. You absolutely slapped me around when I said a few weeks ago that game could be interesting. We're here now. Who do you like, Hokies or the Cavs? Brent Pry or Tony Elliott to get a big win in both coaches' first times in this game as it wasn't played last year for the second-year head coaches?
Yeah, I remain to say that you're a fool for that too, Jacob, but we have to realize a meaningless bowl is on the line for Virginia Tech.
There's no such thing.
There's a meaningless bowl on the line for Virginia Tech. Like I said, like Zach said, they'll be playing at the Powell's Bowl at the Stone Castle. I would argue that they'll probably be playing at the Camp Lejeune Bowl here pretty soon, too.
Don't drink the water.
Don't drink the water.
Don't drink the water. I've seen enough of those commercials. Don't do that.
Presented by Deer Park right now. Let's go with Virginia Tech in this one because I think more is on the line for them.
All I try to do some days is watch reruns of Blue Bloods, and all I get is Tom Selleck talking about retirement during the commercial breaks and Camp Lejeune commercials. I don't need to be reminded about it. I tell you what, I want to go Virginia. Boy, do I want to pick Virginia.
I do too, but I'm not.
I'm
going
to go Tech on the road, though. I'm going to go Tech on the road by a field goal. I think this may be a push on the line there.
Everyone picked Tech last week and Tech lost. Y'all pick UVA.
Well, you know what? We're going to ride it again and see what happens. This is the old game day special, right? You know, everybody loves the graphic on Saturdays when all of the guys on game day pick the same team and they lose. Could happen to us there, partner.
Here you go. Look, this is that revenge for you when you should have dropped Florida State when you were all high and mighty on those Virginia Tech Hokies. So we're paying you back on this one, buddy.
Speaking of Florida State, guys, they travel down to Gainesville, the Swamp. It's a Saturday night in the Swamp with backup quarterbacks up to play for both teams after injuries to their starters last week. 7 o'clock ESPN for this one. Corey, who do you like between the Noles and the Gators?
I think the Noles find a way.
You're going to go Florida State on the road to survive and stay undefeated heading into the ACC title game. Zach, who do you like in Gainesville?
Yeah, I think Florida State does find a way.
You remember we were talking about the Louisville-Miami game last segment, and people talking about the Miami crowd. There's not enough crowd. Let me tell you something. Mario Cristobal's team is playing tough, though. They play teams tough. I don't care what the crowd says. Florida does similarly. The crowd's going to be there Saturday night, I promise you. Don't worry about the crowd. But Billy Napier's squad. Well, the coach will be. I don't know if their talent is anywhere near what Florida State's is right now. And I also think Mike Norvell's a heck of a football coach. And I'm glad that it's finally showing when people wanted to fire him 2 years ago that people finally guess what, folks? Patience sometimes pays off. Hopefully Florida remembers that fact because Billy Napier's a heck of a football coach too. Give him time. And he's going to take a big step Saturday night. Give me the Gators at home. Chomp, chomp. Give me Florida on Thanksgiving weekend to play spoiler to the Seminoles. Max Brown, their backup quarterback, looked pretty good against Missouri down the stretch. Gave them the lead in the final minute. Missouri's able to get the score there to win the game with the field goal in the last seconds anyways, though. But give me Billy Napier and the Gators. They're playing tough for Billy. They know that a lot of people calling for his head. They don't care. Give me Napier and the Gators at home. Clemson, South Carolina. It's Saturday, 7:30, SEC Network, Zach. It's Beamer trying to knock off Dabo for a second straight year and get back to a bowl game. Can he do so in Columbia at Williams-Brice?
We're getting on a trend here. This is weird. I don't think so. I think Dabo goes on the road and gets it done. Dabo's getting a little feisty again, and that's tough news for anyone playing Clemson right now.
And he told you a few weeks ago to beat Notre Dame. Buy stock while you can on the Tigers, Corey. You're buying some holiday stock in them in Columbia.
Yeah. Let's go with Dabo. He's going to attack that portal.
He's supposed to. We'll see if he does. He's a believer in how he runs his program. A lot of guys will say, yeah, you know what? We're going to do so. We're going to make adjustments. We're going to adapt or whatever. He believes in how he's supposed to run the program in his mind. We'll see if he does adjust to what he's done in recent years. Clemson for everybody. Clemson for me as well at home. South Carolina comes up short of the postseason. North Carolina travels to North Carolina State. They're both 8-3 in Raleigh. Saturday, 8 o'clock, ACC Network. Corey, Tar Heels coming off the loss. Wolfpack coming off the road win. Who wins in this battle between Mack Brown and Dave Doran?
Give me Drake May.
That would be North Carolina on the road. Zach.
You know what? I'm going to go Wolfpack. They showed me something last Saturday. I like what NC State's doing.
Let me tell you something about old Dave Doran, the head coach of North Carolina State. If you want him to win a big game against a big-time opponent, go ahead and cash your check elsewhere. It's not going to happen. They're never going to win the ACC. They're never going to play for the ACC title. They're never going to be a college football playoff contender like so many people have tried to build them up to be in recent years because they've got a great offensive line and whoever else at quarterback in recent years. That's not who they are. But if you want a guy who's going to win some games that are personal to North Carolina State, I believe your guy is Dave Doran in Raleigh, and he's going to do so again Saturday night. Give me the Wolfpack at home. I'll take NC State over the Tar Heels. I'm with you, Zach. Give me North Carolina State in the victory. Let's go back to noon on Fox. It's the big game. It is the game. It's the Ohio State traveling to Michigan. Noon on Fox. They're both undefeated, Zach. 11-0. It's Ryan Day versus Sherrone Moore. No Jim Harbaugh for the Wolverines once again this Saturday in this battle between these two teams. Michigan a slight home favorite over the Buckeyes. Top four teams in the playoff standings. Who do you like to pull out the win and go to the Big Ten title game and certainly have the inside track to the college football playoff?
Well, I think Harbaugh will make an appearance on the Fox pregame show. There's some word that students – of Michigan are going to not show up for game day as a boycott, because they believe that ESPN, you know, obviously is not for Harbaugh. So that's be interesting to check out. I think Ryan Day needs this more. I think Ryan Day gets in there and gets the win.
Ohio State on the road for Zach. And let me say this about Michigan. I've never had a ton of respect for that place. I've lost any bit of it at this point. The fact that you would boycott College game day, because heaven forbid, Pete Thamel has reported on this story of what you did wrong in breaking the rules of what the sport says. Oh, boy, I tell you what, that just shivers my timbers. Corey, who do you like in Ann Arbor?
Yeah, I'm going for America's college team. I'm going with the Wolverines.
Michigan at home. No head coach, no matter for Corey. I said this last week, if you watch these two teams, I don't know how you say Michigan's not the better team. I don't know how you can say Michigan's not the better team of what we saw through 10 games. But as I've said, like, for the last month, at some point, doesn't the distractions matter? Don't the distractions finally affect this team? Doesn't something finally do where it shows that, you know what, maybe there's a hole in the armor here in what Michigan's trying to do this season with everything surrounding them from beginning to end, recruiting, the spy scandal, whatever else, Harbaugh being suspended twice this year, missing half the regular season. At some point, it matters. It looked like it mattered against Maryland last week, only barely getting by the Terps, 35-28. Ohio State's offense is looking better, not against Michigan, sure, but they're looking better with Kyle McCord at quarterback. Marvin Harrison Jr. has a New York City Heisman moment. He's not going to win the Heisman. He's not going to have a Heisman moment to win it, but he's going to have a moment enough to get in the New York City in a couple of weeks. I'm going to take the Buckeyes on the road. I think Ryan Day doesn't lose three straight to Michigan, and they're going to celebrate big time at the Big House with the big win. Let's head to high school quickly here, fellas. TSSAA semifinals. Only one game for us here in the area. Class 4. Upperman's undefeated 13-0. They traveled 11-0. Greenville, Corey. Who wins?
Give me Greenville.
Greenville at home. Zach?
Yeah, Green Devils.
I'll take Greenville at home as well to move back to the state title game. First time for Eddie Spradlin as a head coach. If they do so, we'll talk to Eddie next week. Let's head to the region title games here in Virginia. Let's do a couple outside of our area code here, fellas. Let's go Region 1C, Zach, a rematch. Galax, the 5 seed in Region 1C, travels to 3 seed. George With, Saturday, 1 o'clock. Who wins?
Yeah, this is another one of those good rivalry games in that Mountain Empire District. Little shocked by Galax. They've came on as late. They took care of Grayson County, who I really thought was the favorite out of that region when I saw them weeks ago. George With at home. I kind of like George With, though. I'm going to go Maroons to head back to the state semifinals for the second year.
That favorite nickname title, Maroon Tide versus the Maroons. Certainly you won't get confused on this one, Corey. September 29th, Galax won at home 34-19 over George With. They've won 11 out of 12 in this series, although George With still controls the all-time series. George With, though, hit hot at the right time in the last part of the season. Just ask our friends across the street at J.I. Burton who wins this time for a berth to the state semifinals.
I got to go with Galax here.
Galax at home for Corey. I was thinking about it, too. I was thinking about saying, you know what, Galax, the hot team, they're the 5 seed. They've been on the road the last couple of weeks. They'll do it again, head on the road again next week. They've had George With's number. I'm going to go with Zach, though. Give me the Maroons. I'm going to say give me George With at home. I said they get back to the state semifinals, and they make a road trip to Region 1D next week. Region 2C, Glenver, the 3 seed, travels to 1C, Radford, Corey. This is a Friday nighter, 7 o'clock. Who do you like in this matchup to decide who goes to the state semifinals on the western part of Class 2?
The people who scheduled this game, I like that. Give me Radford.
That's a Radford pick at home for Corey. Zach, they're undefeated. That offense has been spectacular. Can it be one more time?
Yeah, Radford's going to be a tough out for whoever wins Saturday at Bullitt Park. I'm going to go Bobcats.
And remember as well, if it is a Radford win, no matter who wins between Graham and Union, they are making the road trip to Radford for a state semifinal. If Glenvar does pull out the win in an upset of a Radford, no matter who wins the Graham Union game, Glenvar's coming to their place next week for state semifinals as well. So just something to keep an eye on there as you're keeping a track of the games this weekend. They played back on September 29th. Radford won 36-3. They do so again. Give me Mike Crist and the Bobcats for the victory. Region 1D will have the game on WLSD. Rye Cove travels to Honeaker 2 versus 1 Saturday, right there at 1 o'clock on 92.5 and 1220 WLSD. Zach, you're picking the game. Who you like from the Eagles and the Tigers in another rematch?
Yeah, it should be a good one. I anticipate Rye Cove coming out. You know, just in my mind, I think they're going to slow the pace down, run the ball, try to stretch this thing out. That seems to be the best way for Rye Cove to attack this. Honeaker's offense, pretty prolific. I think the weather's going to be nice. You're playing on turf. I don't think anything's going to hamper the way their team plays, but I think Honeaker gets it done.
Honeaker, if the clean sweep of a Rye Cove this season, they'll host a Region 1D title game if they do so. Corey, you've seen Rye Cove the last 2 weeks. Can they pull the upset and get revenge?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Honeaker in this one.
That's Honeaker at home for Corey. I'm going to take Honeaker at home as well. Give me the Tigers. I love that story about Rye Cove, but I think it comes up just short against the Tigers. Region 2D will have
– go ahead. Real quick, I think they're going to be in the mix next year.
I do,
got
too.
Got a lot of great talent coming back.
Landon Lane alone coming back, I think, puts you in the mix.
You know, we're Cumberland. We're pro Cumberland on here.
Pro Cumberland. We're getting bumper stickers for the holiday season. Region 2D, Graham travels to Union. They're both 11-1, Corey. It's another rematch. Ooh. Union won back on September 15th, 27-14. Saturday, 2 o'clock. We'll be there right here on 93.5 WAXM. Who wins this time at Bullet Park?
It always seems like the road team has the advantage in this game. And, I hate to say it. I hate to say it for your Bears, Jacob, but I got to go with the G-Men.
Wow, we got a pick for Graham on the road for Corey. He's trying to make it a little bit of tough confines for him in the press box at Bullet Park Saturday. Zach, who do you like in Region 2D?
See, I know what press box I'm walking into Saturday, so you gotta think about that, Corey.
I'm good. Honestly,
Corey should be one of those people camping out in the parking lot at 10 a.m.
Yeah, good luck to you, pal.
To beat everyone in. Yeah, I'm with Corey. This, you know, the road game for the road team usually finds a way to get it done. This rivalry here, the Graham Union rivalry, has turned out to be what we all hoped the Richlands Union rivalry would be years ago. This one's back and forth, more of a contested rivalry than the Richland series for Union. But I do think Graham is healthy. I think Graham goes on the road. I don't think they really get too flustered about Union Park or Bullet Park in Big Stone Gap. I think they go in and get it done with Tydress Clements having a nice day.
Both of them going Graham on the road. And one note about the games there on Saturday, I mean, the crowd there on Saturday, you better get there before 10 a.m. if you want to get in front of the punch out there camping out at Bullet Park. If you want to beat them to the mark, you may want to get there Friday evening. I'll say one more thing. I said this same exact thing to Tony Palmer, Zach, about the Richlands Union rivalry. Graham not only took the spot of Richlands, they've taken the rivalry to a whole different level than what it was with the Blue Tornado and the Bears earlier on in this school's history. I'm going to take Union at home. Bullet Park, Saturday afternoon playoff game. Give me the Bears. I know exactly where I'm living at. I know exactly where I'm walking into Saturday
Bears,
afternoon.
Boy.
Hey, I better make sure my shoes are tied. All right, so I'm going to take Union at home. Give me Keith Chandler and that running game to sort of hand the oh, hey, how you doing, Jacob? Handle the ball there for the Bears as make sure Tydress Clement stands on the other sideline for most of the afternoon. I'm going to take Union at home. I think it's going to be a classic, though. We should have a good one. Graham and Union, Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock, right here on 93.5 WAXM. Zach Helton with the call of Honeaker hosting Rye Cove in the Region 1D title game over on 92.5 and 1220 WLSD and online at WLSDradio.com. Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock kick, Zach. Safe travels over there, partner, to Russell County. Enjoy the broadcast. It should be a fun one over there, partner.
Yeah, looking forward to it. It'll be the first time I got to be in that new press box. They redid the press box at Honeaker, so I'm looking forward to that. Should be a fun one Saturday, not a long drive for me, so I may get home before dark.
I think I've got maybe the shortest drive of the weekend. Let's not lie, though. They're on the parts of where we're playing.
You should walk to the...
Oh, I walk there fairly often. The problem is I don't want to carry the gear on the walk down there to the Bullet Park. It would be the only thing. If not for the gear, I'd be fine with walking. No problem with me at all, Corey. Maybe you'll join me for a walk Saturday afternoon as we'll be there for Bullet Park at the Graham Union Region 2D title game kickoff at 2 o'clock again for the G-Men and the Bears right here on 93.5 WAXM. Want to wish you once again a final happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. And once again, as we head into another holiday season, a Merry Christmas as we head into the afternoon part of November. And yes, it's never too early to have your Christmas tree up, fellas. You got it up already? I hope you do.
Mine's already up. No.
Oh, mine's been up for weeks. Mine's been up for weeks.
Stop it.
Mine's been up for weeks. Let's not be Scrooges.
That's a travesty.
No, let's not be Scrooges here, folks. It's the greatest holiday of the year. Let's act like it is.
No, Thanksgiving is great.
Oh, come
on. One holiday at a time.
Thanksgiving's fine.
You can watch football on Thanksgiving.
You can on Christmas as well. There'll be NFL games. It's a Monday night this year. So, yeah, there'll be an NFL game for there on Christmas this year. Hey, and hey, let Christmas Eve be a part of the special there as well. There's plenty of games on Christmas Eve this year on a Sunday there with the NFL slate this coming season. So, hey, get in the Christmas spirit, fellas. Hey, you know what happens this coming? You know what we're going to start doing next week, don't you? Christmas music. Let's get it ready. Come on now. It's Pigskin Picks. That's Zach Helton. Corey Sanchez, I'm Jacob Townsend. We've got you covered. High school football this week in region titles is Rykov and Honaker Saturday at 1 over on WLSD. And right here on WXM Saturday at 2, it's Graham and Union. Looking forward to this weekend. We'll recap it all again next Thursday night at 8 o'clock. I'm Jacob Townsend. Pigskin Picks, 93.5 WAXM.
Thanks for listening to Pigskin Picks, brought to you by Food City, Eastman Credit Union, and Delegate Terry Kilgore. Pigskin Picks is a production of Valley Broadcasting and Communications.